Okay, I just turned the recorder on.
But that sounds good. Sitting there, handouts on the counter, agendas, and other handouts.
Absolutely. These are crumbs.
I'm on.
Okay, let's call the meeting to order. Three out of the five that are here. Peggy put the first thing, interview applicants for airport committee vacancy. You want that before the approval of the minutes, Peggy?
Well, I thought it might work better that way so that if the folks who are being interviewed didn't want to stay for the rest of the meeting, they wouldn't have to.
Okay.
But it's your call. You're the chair.
Nope. We'll go ahead and go. Okay. Who are the, you said one is not here, is getting married?
Steve Vickers is not here. He's opted to get married. And the people who are here are Al Pashusta and Ralph Busby.
Two of you. Okay. How would the committee like to handle this? You want to do this individually? Would you like to ask questions of the two of them? Jim?
Chair.
Okay, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself to who we have. Well, part of the background here. Excuse me, go ahead.
I think what we should do is let these gentlemen know who their committee is and, you know, who the COC is. And,
go ahead. Introduce yourself.
Sure. Anyway, my name is Mark Watkins. I'm a local pilot. I have a hangar at the airport.
Jim Churchill, committee.
Do you have a plane?
No.
What?
And I'm Jim Hall, the chair of the group. We have two other members who are not here.
Yeah.
Jim?
Jim Volker, city manager.
Jim Shaw, South Beach, interested citizen.
Gene Cossey, the airport director.
Peggy Hawker.
City
everything.
Reporter.
Just everything.
And other city.
Everything.
Mark McConnell, mayor.
Of all jobs.
Okay, and the two gentlemen in the back.
I'm Doug Hahn. Just a citizen of the county.
Dave Morgan, LincolnCounty.com.
Right. Okay.
Jim, might I suggest that we establish that these gentlemen are both residents of the city, inside the city, because we already have one member of the airport committee who is not a resident of the city, and that's all that's allowed in the committee charter. So.
I'm a resident of Mackay, which is in the county.
Outside of the city, okay.
And I live in Newport.
You live in the city of Newport, okay.
So that pretty much eliminates me?
It does, but you know, do the interview and keep your name in the pot, because if we have changes in the committee in the future, we'll pull your name back out of the file and reconsider you, ask you if you want to be reconsidered at that
right.
point.
Okay.
And there's no reason why you can't be an active volunteer or active participant at the airport, which I think you are already.
Okay, we have Saturday for a hamburger.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And we need volunteers like you that love the airport and are passionate about it, so don't go anywhere.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I live closer to the airport than some of the residents in the airport.
Right. Unless you're planning on doing some annexing to the south.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll just hang around and listen.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, I guess it's up to you. Please explain your background, and we have some information here. But
I didn't realize you were going to pass out what you passed out, so I
take some of these and pass them around. I just made a little summary resume to give you a little bit of idea of my background.
If you want to
okay, here you go, Jim.
If you got any questions on any of that, I'd be happy to answer.
Well, we were looking for somebody with experience, so. Okay. Experience in aviation and that kind of stuff.
Well, my background is that I've been involved with aviation since 1968 or 69 when I started to fly when I was in college. And I've been a pilot ever since. I've been active ever since as a pilot. I've been an aircraft owner continuously since 1971. So I've been involved with several airports. I was on the advisory committee to three airports. My professional career has been mainly centered around aviation. I started out with the FAA for 15 years, initially in air traffic control. I was a controller both in the tower and the center. I worked at Portland, Seattle Center, Boeing Tower, Salem. I got into the engineering and test business and software business. I was in the end responsible for all the software and the en route and terminal systems, the maintenance and design of it. I went to work for a private contractor, Computer Sciences Corporation, which is a Fortune 500 company in 1985. We have about 90,000 employees. And one of our areas of expertise is information technology systems for aviation. And we built the flow control system that's in use today. When you get the gate hold at the airport and tell you it'll be another 30 minutes before we can push back, that's our fault. We built that software. The DUOTS pilot briefing program is another program we built and manage and operate. And several other things. We do a lot of the maintenance, the in-route software, and so of course I've been involved with all that and managed a lot of that. I ran a contract up at the Volpe National Transportation Center where we had about 400 employees providing IT services and systems and research analysis on future transportation programs and review of some existing programs. Did a little bit of work in Europe with the German air traffic system and with the NAFS and Eurocontrol. NAFS is the British. And Eurocontrol as well, and been a manager most of my career. So in other words, I didn't do anything; I was just a manager. But
where were the three advisory boards you served on?
Well, Ocean City, New Jersey, where I spent the last 30 years living, which is a resort town in New Jersey, in some ways like Newport, in some ways totally different, but it's got a population of about 15,000, and a big resort town is right on the coast. So. Was there, Salem, Oregon was another one, and then Decatur Island up in the San Juan is a private airport that a large group of us own. And I was the so-called airport manager there for a while. But we had commercial service, we had anacortes air in those days flying in and out with the mail, and we flew kids to school and all kinds of things out of there. But that's been quite a while ago.
And what city council did you serve on?
Ocean City.
What brings you to Newport?
Well, originally, we're from this part of the world. I grew up in Grays Harbor County up in Washington, and my wife is from Redmond. And I ended up back in the Atlantic City area as a result of my job with the FAA. And just as it worked out, we were back there 30 years, but when we retired, we wanted to come back out here. And I have in the past lived in Portland, Salem, and Eugene, so quite familiar with.
Welcome to Newport.
Yeah. It wasn't a surprise when it rained.
Yeah, welcome.
So, we owned the house out here for about 4.5 years, and we just moved out here a year ago, June.
Are you retired, or are you doing consulting?
No, I'm retired. I didn't. If I could have, and it would have meant I had spent most of my time in Washington, you know, or thereabouts. Yeah. And I spent enough time in Washington.
So you're planning on living here for a while?
Oh yeah, I'm not planning to go anywhere.
Do you have an aircraft?
Yes. Yes, I have an aircraft and a hangar at the airport.
And it's the most beautiful twin Beechcraft you've ever seen in your life. Yep. It's a honey.
It must be that twin Beech I see flying. Mm-hmm. Must be the twin Beech I see flying.
Yeah.
Well, it's a traveler.
Traveler.
A true twin wings, which is the old Model 18, you know. Traveler.
Beautiful aircraft.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions of the committee?
Not really. I'm somewhat familiar with, you know, talking to Mark. I've read the
charter.
The charter.
Responsibilities.
And airport.
Have you been to any of the barbecues on Saturday out here?
Pretty much everyone.
Okay, just so you, so, you know some of the pilots in here.
Free food, you know. Yeah, I'm usually there on Saturday. Not every Saturday. Yeah. Won't be there tomorrow, but you know.
Do you have any questions? Mark?
Well, I've known Ralph a couple of years, and I can tell you that he's passionate about our city, he's passionate about our airport and aviation, and I just would highly recommend him. He could be a huge asset to the volunteer organization and to this committee and to the city.
We do have another applicant who lives in the, who I believe lives in Newport, who is not here today. And have you taken a look at his?
I haven't gotten any.
Want to take a look at that?
Oh,
want to take a look
did
at
you
that?
Pick up the handouts, Mark? Up on the counter?
This must be the first one.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Why don't you go ahead and review that?
If people know.
Did you
where Steve Vickers is, who lives in Newport?
Yes, not a problem. Kitchen. Steve,
Steve Vickers.
Jim Vickers' son?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is he a Newport resident?
Yes, he says he lives on Vista. Oh, you can't see that.
Can't see that.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So he is a resident of Newport, okay.
Oh, I know Steve too.
Then I need to apologize to Al, because if I had realized that it needed to be a city resident, I would have put that in the ad and let you know that in advance, so. Mm-hmm.
I made it.
My apologies.
Al is a volunteer with our police department, too, so
that's right.
Really helps us out a lot.
That's what he's familiar with.
Yeah.
He'll be over there. With
we have the most incredible volunteer group with the police.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Are you going to help with parking on Saturday?
Well, actually, I'm going to be part-time at the parking lot. I've got out-of-town guests. This weekend, of all the times that I have them here.
Yeah.
And then when they're out at doing their thing, I'm going to do some parking or leave the officers that are there, give them a break.
Good, thanks.
So, Mr. Chairman, what is the procedure here then?
I'm going to have to refer to the mayor in regards to that.
What happens is
we would like you to make a recommendation,
to the city council.
When?
If you make a recommendation now, then we'll appoint that person on the next meeting, September 6th. If you want to take time to have a chance to talk to Steve, then you don't have to make a recommendation today.
Would we put that off until?
We'd put it off until after you have a chance to make the recommendation, whichever way you want to do it.
There's no time frame?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the feeling of the committee?
My feeling is that Ralph has eminently qualified.
No question.
And although I'm sure Steve is qualified, but I feel that Ralph was far more qualified. And
we make a recommendation to the.
Well, I'd like to recommend to this committee that we send his application and vote of approval from this board to the city council for final approval.
I second.
Okay, to move in second to go ahead and pass our recommendation on to the board. And all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
And the next city council meeting is when?
September 6th.
6th of September.
It's a Tuesday, Mark. Because of
That's right.
Labor Day holiday and my birthday.
And it's just a part of the
party to city council meeting.
It's a part of the mayor's report. It's my responsibility to actually propose make the appointments with the city council's approval. So
that's at 6 o'clock, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty close after six we'll do that. And thank you, Al, for throwing your name in.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
Well, we know more about you now.
Not much to know.
Yeah, Rhode Island country, yeah. Okay, do I hear approval of the minutes for June 16th?
So moved. Okay, approve.
Okay, move second. Okay. Favor?
Aye.
Favor approved. Entrance sign.
All right, I know there's been some question about getting a sign out on the airport entrance. There's a couple of things we're working on. First of all, by the recommendation of the City Council a couple of weeks ago, we were approved just to do a real temporary sign that just says this is the airport. So something along this line is what the city shops are working on making for us. It real simple, very straightforward, the logo for the city, Newport Municipal Airport. That's going to be temporary just to get something out there. What I want to do, though, is actually come up with some design for a long-term sign, something that's attractive, very important, maybe changing the logo up with the approval of the City Council so that it's still the city's logo, but maybe has, you know, some indication that it's an airport, you know, and something that could actually continue to be the airport's logo for a while, not just the city's logo in general. So I think that needs to have some thought and some effort from everyone who's been involved with all these logos and everything. So I want to take some time to do that, move forward, be able to bring back when that's ready to the committee and then to the City Council the approval of a long-term permanent sign that we actually put some money in. Those the area where Seaport had their sign up, we're going to use those posts that are already there for now. We're working on seeing what it's going to take to get some electrical out to it. It's not going to cost us a lot. We'll get the electrical out to it, and we'll be able to put some lights on it so that it's lit. Even the temporary sign will be able to be lit because we'll move forward with that right away. Designing a permanent, you know, long-term sign, that's something that, you know, we want to put some thought into, not just slap together real quick. If you guys have any input, please feel free to, you know, send it to me, get it to me, anything whatsoever, you know, details you think should be on the sign, please get that information to me. I'm going to start putting together, again, with the people who've already designed the logos that the city uses throughout the city, trying to get together and develop something that's more airport specific while still being, you know, the city's logo. And then work on, you know, what fonts we want, what lettering we want, how much information we want on the sign. I think it should be neat and clean, but I think it should be something that looks very presentable, that gets people's attention, and is, you know, built in a way that's gonna last and be durable. This is not by any means a monument sign that I'm talking about. Monument signs are beyond what we have in the budget for. But it'll be something that utilizes that same area, but yet utilizes it in a way that's more of a long-term image gathering, you know, something that really gets people's attention as they drive by.
The different neighborhoods in town have their own logo.
Right.
So it'd be cool if the airport had its own kind of airport neighborhood, airport district logo that was separate from everything
That's
else.
What I'm thinking. Yeah. I'm no artist, though, so I'm not the one to do that.
Okay. Would it be advisable to maybe put out a request to the general public, to the media, you know, competition of some sort for a logo?
That's possible. Who created all those other signs that are used and logos that are used throughout
Meyer
the city?
Meyer Reed.
Okay.
Meyer Reed and Grady Britton.
Okay.
I mean, Grady Britton established them to begin with, and then Meyer Reed.
Is that a process we want to go through again, or do we want to do this in a different manner?
The development of those logos, like the neighborhood district logos, that the last one they added was the light was the Agate Beach neighborhood with the lighthouse in it. It was fairly expensive.
Yeah, see, yeah. I'm thinking along the lines of it.
So
we have so many artists as an artist community.
But I think you could use the basic graphic design that they have for the other neighborhoods, but you just need to that little hump across the top and just needs to have something that's airport specific, you know,
Yeah,
an airplane.
That's what I was thinking.
An airplane of some sort that has the same kind of style as.
Yeah, get local artists involved to help us out with it.
Yeah, and they kind of have a retro style to them. That the neighborhood signs and the wayfinding signs kind of have a retro feel to them. Mm-hmm. Well, sorry, it's almost timeless. But
I'll have something at our next meeting. A couple of times.
Okay.
I think Kurt Fuchs was way back when we were talking about putting a sign above the Seaport one. He was the one who said also that he thought it'd be neat to have an airplane or something.
Right. That's the direction I was thinking. Yeah. So
I don't know what that would be.
Okay. So I just wanted to basically at this point inform you guys what the plan is. Ask for your input. Please give it to me. Doesn't have to be at the next meeting. It can be well before then if you want. And you know we'll start working towards this. We are going to get a temporary, you know, just. This is the Newport Airport sign up there, so it's not just a big blank plywood. I believe, if I have been informed correctly, the city shops are already working on this for us.
I'd like to see the Newport Municipal Airport, you know, a little bit bigger.
This was just a sample for you. We'll get it done a lot better. This is just instead of me sitting here going the logo with words here, right. I had something to show you.
Okay. At the 75th birthday party for the bridge committee the other day, I guess there's several different photos, movies, etc., and pictures of airplanes flying under the bridge. You could just put an airplane.
No, we're not making it.
We wouldn't want to encourage that.
No, I know you don't want that. there is a historic record of airplanes flying under the bridge.
Yes, there is.
Okay, other questions about the entrance lane?
Well, that's an important project, and that's a big deal, so thank you.
Fiscal year.
Okay, well, I wanted to go over, last time we talked about me coming back to you, most specifically just with numbers about the fuel sales and where things have been, but I've got some larger overall numbers here for you, too. I've got a bit of a spreadsheet here that shows just month to month in fiscal year 10-11 what the fuel sales were. The top part is gallons that we sold of each type of fuel. You notice jet fuel is, well.
Are they, which, so the first column is?
It's jet.
This is just for 1 year. There's no comparables to last year.
Right. No, and that was one of the things. Well, this is last year. This is fiscal year 10-11. Okay. I don't have any numbers for fiscal year 9-10. The process that they were using to track things didn't keep the record continuously. That's been fixed in the past year, but this particular one, we don't have numbers for 9-10. Now, I do have the ability to get some estimates, but all the numbers aren't recorded, and that's just, again, a fault with the way the system was previous years. But we can tell that fuel sales this last year were quite a bit higher. And just to let you know, it looks like already in July and August, especially our avgas sales are up. I think one of the things that really is helping our avgas sales go up is the ability on the prepay card to give a little bit better discount to the pilots. And so we're seeing more avgas sales. Jet A, we've seen Jet A go up a little bit. One of the reasons I think Jet A has gone up, well, I think there's two primary reasons Jet A has gone up a little bit. One, our pricing strategy is trying to keep it where most of the jets that come in and out come from Portland, and we're trying to make it where while they're here, it's cheaper for them to fill up here than to fill up when they're in Portland. And that's basically what we're trying to do, and that's helping a little bit. Of course, Seaport, when they were buying, they were increasing the gallons they were buying from us, and that helped those numbers go up, although there wasn't a lot of profit in the price we were selling it to Seaport at. And then finally, just people are starting to fly their jets more than they were in the last couple of years. The economy had really hurt corporate aviation, and jets weren't flying very much.
Gene, about how much of that jet fuel is Seaport?
I think it'll vary because they had a contract with Flightcraft up in Portland that they had to meet, and so it really depended. We were averaging about 2,500 gallons a month to them, so we'll probably see some drops over the next year as far as the volume. We shouldn't see a lot of drop in profit, though, because, again, we were basically giving it to them just a little above cost. Jet A, you can see the revenue on Jet A was just under $300,000, and the expense was just above $250,000. And with Avgas, the revenue was almost $81,000, and cost was just over $61,000. So the net income on fuel sales was actually $67,735. And those are, David wanted me to point out that all these numbers as of yet are their best guesstimates, not guesstimate, guess is the wrong word, their best shot at it because nothing's been audited yet. So he wanted me to give that disclaimer.
Do you know where you are for July from this year?
I didn't have that number down, but we are higher. I think we're around, I think we're pushing almost 9,000 for July. I know July's over. I think we were close to 9,000. We were like 8,400, 8,500 gallons.
For Jet A.
For Jet A, yeah. Jet A and Avgas both are up in July.
Over last year.
Over last year.
Yeah. Well, another reason, Gene, is because we haven't had those 100-degree days in the valley. We have not had that crazy fog this year like we have, so yeah. We're seeing a lot more general aviation activity.
Come and go during the day
exactly.
Without worrying about it.
And that does help.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. To go along with that, I wanted to show you, I just printed off prices of fuel today on the next page. Our price is up there among the higher numbers, and that's because just recently, over the last 2 weeks, fuel prices have started to decline a little. We have just in the last week purchased more fuel, and I'll be dropping the prices a little bit based on the purchases, and that'll put us back down in the mid-range of the rest of the state. We try to stay mid-range around where the rest of the state is. As you can see on the average prices, we're still well under the we're well under the average on Jet A, and our regular price on Avgas is under. As you know, the discounts at self-serve and the discounts with prepay puts us well below the average. One of the things we're trying to do is get that word out to as many people as possible that if you prepay the fuel, you'll get a significant discount.
But that's only for local pilots.
No, it's for anybody. Anybody who wants to buy their car. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the word out as much as possible. I don't have a lot of money to advertise that. So we're trying to just get the word out, word of mouth. I've sent it out to all the other airport managers that are out there. We send it out to other FBOs, things like that. We've got the word out. Of course, other FBOs aren't going to be real cooperative in advertising that for us. But we're getting the word out as much as possible. That's why I'm asking you guys, when you have the opportunity to tell somebody about it, tell them about it, that they can get a discount on their fuel by prepaying and buying the prepaid card.
I have one question about the fuel. There was talking, it was also a line item in our business plan. We were talking about getting on the GM account, the government merchant account.
Mm-hmm.
The total gallons, the minimum gallons that we have to pump in order to get on that government merchant account so we can sell more to the Coast Guard, to the National Guard, to the Army, to the Air Force?
Well, the Coast Guard does buy from us when they need to but they have a policy of fueling their own aircraft through their own tanks, and that's not going to change. Other government agencies do buy from us when they come through, but on their account thing, I don't know that minimum number of gallons off the top of my head. I think that's a storage capacity, not a how much you sell each year, but a storage capacity. And I don't know that number off the top of my head.
Unless it's changed when we did our research for this, because we want to make sure that we had the capability of putting it in there before we approved the business plan, it was total gallons sold, because they know that we can get a truck every day if we have to.
That's possible.
The nice thing about that is on a GM or a government merchant account, is it's in everybody's database. It's in the entire country's database. They've got a mission flying from Seattle down to San Diego. Where are we going to get fuel? Oh, look at here. Here's Newport, Oregon, KOMP. Geez, they got an ILS. Let's go get fuel.
Right.
So that's something I would really like to see at least do some research on and come back to the committee and give us a report. We might be only 5,000 gallons short. I have no idea, but okay. I think it would be nice to have this in that government database.
All right. Thank you.
Mark, if I recall, that was actually discussed at all those meetings leading up to that, and it seemed like it was a pretty high threshold.
I can't remember.
Yeah, that's how I remember everyone thinking this was a great idea, but when the number came out, I didn't even know who researched it. It was just kind of a deterrent because it was pretty high, but it'd be good to check that.
Well, it wouldn't hurt to know what the number is and have that be a goal. And when you
they're always, hopefully maybe they're changing numbers with the accounts.
Probably takes 6 months to get the federal.
Well, still, it'd be nice to be in a global database.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have another question, Gene, about our fuel. On the page where it lists all the other FBOs.
Right.
When you sell a house, you know, you do comps. You try to get prices comparable to your house. PDX is not comparable to KONP, to Newport. And I'd like to know how come Albany's not on here, Lebanon's not on here, Scappoose is not here, comparable airports. I know 2 weeks ago I bought fuel at Albany for $4.99, and I'm not saying that we're too expensive. And at Lebanon it was $5.15. This was just, what, last week for the same fuel. So comparables are not on this list.
When I set the prices, I actually go ahead and go to a separate database. I have to go to each different airport separately on their websites and find out what their current fuel prices are. This particular thing that I keep a running spreadsheet on is a database published by Global Air, and those airports don't report to Global Air. When I do actually set the price, I do go in and get a feel for what those are. Unfortunately, I have to set the price based on what we pay for it versus what our cost and expenses to handle it are. So I can't always get exactly down to where those other airports are, but I do try to, again, be compatible. Again, when you look at the prepay price, we're down at $5.12. That's only, you said you bought it for $4.99. That's only 13 cents a gallon more.
That's perfect.
So, I mean, that's the goal, is to, when you prepay your fuel like that and use that prepay card, to be able to have a reasonable comparable price.
And your price that you said in here right now is based on the higher...
Right, and that's what I'm going to go into in the next couple of
higher
sheets.
Higher price shipment that you got.
Right, and that's what I'm going to go into.
Prices are crazy.
If you look at the next sheet here, this shows you historically up to yesterday what the cost of fuel is and what we're selling it for. The purple line up on top is the regular price. That's if you want our guys to drive their truck out to your aircraft and fuel your aircraft, that's what the price is. The blue line shows the price of self-serve, so you pull your aircraft up to the self-serve tank.
We don't have color.
You guys don't have color? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this would all be copied in
which
color.
Which one are you looking at?
Okay, I'm looking at this sheet right here. It says AvGas cost price analysis.
Okay.
I just assumed it would all be copied in color. So the top line on my page is purple. Shows you what the regular price is on this chart. And the second line down, blue, if you really need to know, is the self-serve price. And then the third line, it makes this little drop over here and then goes over. That's when we instituted the prepay card. That shows you what the prepay price is. So you can kind of see the difference there in where you're at. The little dots here with their numbers, the little dots here with the numbers are where we purchase the fuel at. So if you notice, our purchase price is in there, but it doesn't always follow exactly where the cost is. Now, the reason why our purchase price is a little higher than the cost is because the cost is just the cost. The purchase price is once you add the taxes to it.
Right.
So if you notice, fuel prices were going up significantly above where we bought them at the 439 level. We tried to keep prices low for a while, but as costs started going up, anticipating that we'd have to buy again, we did raise the prices a little. Noticing that we were raising the prices, anticipating they were going to keep going up, we did institute the prepay program. And then prices have dropped a little bit. As you can see, they're kind of up and down a little now. Just recently, they started going down again. Unfortunately, our last purchase was at the 460 mark. Now, we just bought this week, and once I get the invoices and I know exactly what all the costs are, I'll be able to figure that out, and I'll probably adjust the prices down just a little, because we'll actually be back towards the 430-something mark. The red line, or on my page, the red line, but the bottom line shows the trend in the changes. So as you can see, while the price trend is going up, changes have been on a trend of downward changes. That just kind of gives you an idea of what's happened over the last 8 months.
I'd like to see your fuel policy formula for you know, how you index and how you price the fuel. Or is there one that we can put in our files? Or you just kind of average what everybody else is doing, or it's kind of like playing the futures and
you're kind of looking at it.
Okay.
You know, I kind of take the data. I get an idea for what we're paying for it. I go back over here, and I get an idea of wherever my other page went, of what everybody else is charging for it. And then I adjust the prices based on the change in the cost. So we probably, pretty much, a baseline was established before I even got here.
Right.
Okay, and that baseline was established probably well below what our total costs are, because you start talking about the cost of employees, the cost of payment of the building, everything, we'd probably have to charge $8 a gallon. So the baseline was established long before I got here.
Right.
So instead of making drastic changes to that baseline, I make two adjustments. What does my change in cost do? So how much does my change in cost affect the price? If it jumps up 20 cents a gallon, I got to at least put 20 cents a gallon.
And what are the change of costs then? Just like employees, maintenance?
No, I'm talking about just the cost of the fuel. This line right there, just the cost of the fuel, that change in cost. And then I look at what other airports are charging. If other airports seem to really jump their price up, then that gives me a little leeway to move it up a little bit and be prepared for more increases later. If other airports are keeping it real low, I'll try to trim it back as much as possible.
You know what Florence?
Off the top of my head, I don't know what Florence is unless it's on this list.
How about Coos Bay North Bend?
Coos Bay North Bend is on this list. Coos Bay North Bend is an outlier. You'll never be able to compete
with
them.
I don't know with their jet fuel.
Well, you can't compete. Well, you can maybe compete with their avgas a little bit.
Yeah, you can, sure.
Coos Bay North Bend, unfortunately, they got such a battle going on down there. They're at
560.
They're at 586, 550, 559. So once you use our prepay, you're actually well below their cost. And if you use self-serve, you're right at their cost.
Yes. Gene, also AirNav.com has some of these smaller...
Yeah, unfortunately, AirNav doesn't have just a flat database. You have to go to each different airport. And that's what I do when I make these adjustments. But again, this database that I just... or this spreadsheet that I just showed you directly there, those guys aren't on that because they don't report to it.
100LL will have them all listed.
Okay.
They're not always up to date. They're usually...
Well, see, and that's the thing about Global Air. They keep them up to date. They are really good about keeping them up to date.
About 2 weeks.
Okay, 100LL.
Yes, it's 100LL.com.
Okay, thanks. I didn't know about that one. I'll check that one out. The next page shows you the same thing in Jet A. Jet A is pretty much a simpler spreadsheet or a simpler graph because it we don't have three different pricing schemes with that. We did have a pricing scheme that was different with Seaport, but I excluded Seaport from this because they were kind of a special little monster. As you can see, we do purchase Jet A quite a bit more often than we purchase Avgas, so our prices do reflect a little bit there. We did just purchase again. The drop in Avgas or in Jet A has been a little more extreme here at the end, so I'll probably be dropping Jet A prices down just a little bit as well to try to keep encouraging people to buy it when they're here instead of buying it in Portland. Now, one thing, I am a little leery to drop it too much because we haven't had any drop in sales. I mean, most people are still buying it when they come in. So if you look at that other chart and you see what's being charged in Portland, the charges at Hillsboro Aviation and Global Aviation seem to be significantly lower than us, but from what I've heard, people aren't really buying a lot at Hillsboro Aviation and Global Aviation. I'm not really sure why, but
Hillsboro's a busy airport.
So
really busy.
Well, but I mean the people that come to us aren't. They're just as happy to buy it from us as they are up there. So, that's a lot to do with customer service, ease of getting it, and how quickly they can get it and everything.
Well, I don't know if you guys that's on the committee here, I don't know, you're not down there too much, but he's got a staff that is so customer service oriented, they will sell fuel.
I've seen him in action.
And it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, they're doing a great job out there.
Yep, they're doing wonderful. And then the next page is actually... this stuff's actually kind of convoluted, but I wanted to include this because it is David Marshall's year-end report for the airport, again, without going through the audit yet. One reason I told you earlier about where we were with fuel cells and we're doing good on our fuel cells and we're doing good where that stuff is because those are actually the true numbers. This stuff takes into account all that mumbo-jumbo that goes on back in finance where they transfer from one fund to another fund and they didn't transfer enough at the beginning of the year, so they got to transfer more during the middle of the year. One of the things this front page shows you is that last year we had a negative balance of $177,000. The year before that, it was even higher, and I think another year or 2 years before that, the negative balance each year was quite a bit higher. This year, David's been doing transfers from funds to funds, trying to get rid of those negative balances. So we've been going into each year, whatever we do has to make up for the negative balance before. This is the last year that's going to happen. After all David's transfers back and forth, there's still a $32,000 negative balance at the end of this year. Once he gets done with the audit, he'll finish out the last of that. He'll cancel all that out. And then because of the way he's changing his accounting practices back there, you shouldn't ever see those negative balances anymore. What I want to point out is what's happening here. One, there's a huge improvement over the previous years, over this year. Part of that is the way we're doing business out there, but part of it is just the way David's handling the finance department. So that's important. You won't see those negative balances anymore after that. There's just a lot of improvement on both sides, on how things are going out at the airport and on how David's doing the financing or the finance stuff.
Gene Kiner up on a good example of why it's negative $32,000 this year is last year, just before the end of the fiscal year, we had kind of guessed on how much fuel we were going to sell. We rolled the dice. It wasn't a good decision, and we lost a sale, essentially. This year, it was 2 days before the end of the fiscal year. Gene and finance had figured out and made the transfer so it would be zero. Well, that had done a couple weeks before that. 2 days before the end of the fiscal year, Gene came up and said, you know, we're looking at our projections. We, you know, there's a possibility we could run out. So should I buy now, and which would mean we'd go negative, or try to make it 2 days? The decision was buy the damn fuel and we will sell it. Right. And it was, I think, $33,000
was
the amount of sale. So he and David and Gene had done a good job projecting, but when that came to that last day, you know, we went ahead and made some more sales.
Well,
and that was a good decision.
We corrected that. The council had a special meeting and corrected that budget issue.
Well, see, that has in 2 weeks before the end of the year. So that we thought we had it, and then there were some phone calls that came in with potential flights that we hadn't planned on.
Yeah, the council did correct that before the end of the fiscal year, so we were aware of what was going on there, too.
Okay.
So,
The next few pages show you our accounts. Now, one of the things I have to point out right away is some of the titles on the accounts are wrong because this fiscal year David changed some of the account numbers and the line item numbers. And so some of these line items will actually show you the new names of what they are and not what they were when these costs were implemented. Like, for instance, one of them shows that we spent $3,285 on library children programming. We didn't spend any money on library children programming. Account 6513 was a different account in the last fiscal year, and I don't have those numbers with me. So if you have any questions about what things were, you can email me and I'll email you back what the actual account was. But so I just want to point out that some of these account names are wrong, but the money was spent for airport related things, not library related things. And these show you like some of the numbers that we're looking at. Avgas, Jet A, we spent the number I showed you in the previous page, $299,077. You look down at how much we sold, and that's where the $250,995. So it will show you some of this stuff. Also on the next set, which is Fund 77,005, this includes both the Connect Oregon grant that was expended for Seaport and our AIP grants. Pretty much what I wanted to show you is if you look at the minus on the bottom, you've got negative $19,878 in airport operations. That's the 7005. Most of that negative stuff has come with grant costs that weren't covered by either Connect Oregon or the USDOT grant. And then if you look at the bottom line on 7110, which is the FBO, it says airport operations for this FBO. That's in parentheses and it's a negative, but it's actually a positive. David's software does things funny sometimes. shows 164,964, basically ahead of the game in the FBO. That number did not include one of the transfers that David had, and that was that transfer was for $177,000 to zero out the initial beginning balance. So what that shows you is that if we didn't have that initial negative balance of $177,000 at the beginning of the year, everything the way it was, we would have actually been up $168,000. So that's why it's important for the way David's fixing things and getting out of carrying over negative balances, because we can get a lot better control of the budget of, well, not just the airport department, but all the departments that had been having those problems in the past. That's pretty much both the annual report for fiscal year 10-11 on both fuel cells and kind of some general finance numbers. I can try to answer any questions you have beyond what I've given you, and any questions I can't answer, I can write down and get back to you later on. So, do you have any more questions?
Yeah, Gene, when's our contract with ExxonMobil up?
I'm not sure on that. ExxonMobil is actually going out of the fuel selling business. So Western Petroleum, who we actually have the contract with, is switching over to ConocoPhillips.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so we'll be selling ConocoPhillips gas here in the next few months.
What about that lease truck? Is that?
We still have some time on the lease truck. I'm not sure how much time that is. I'd have to pull that up. But that, again, is through Western Petroleum, which now is World Fuel. They got bought out, too, but it's all the same.
So this transfer isn't something that we need to be concerned about or stay on top of?
You know, there's really not a lot we can do about it. Pretty much everybody's getting out of the av fuel market. ConocoPhillips is one of the last ones left. I think there's only four companies doing av fuel anymore. ExxonMobil's out.
BP is still.
BP's still in. There's another one that just went out. I can't remember who that was. But yeah, that's AvFuel is going to become a rare commodity in the next 10 or 12 years, I would bet. So you're probably going to see costs going up tremendously with AvFuel in the next, I'd say, 10 to 15 years. I don't know if you saw, but a few months ago, there was actually a push down in California in their legislation to ban the sale of 100 low lead because of the lead content. If that happens,
well,
I don't think it will happen, but if it did.
AOPA's already put a kibosh on that one.
Yeah, but if that ever happens, you'll see 100 low lead going through the roof. So, anyway, there's not a lot. We don't have a lot of options out there. Western Petroleum, or well, again, their World Fuel now is one of the better companies. We are still in a lease with them. When that comes up, we can talk to BP about. Yeah. You know, we can talk to BP about what they can do differently, but we're still in that for a little while.
Okay.
Is it worth exploring some of the other outfits that are still in?
At this point, it's not, because we're under a contract with.
No, I'm not talking about at this point, but I'm talking about future.
Yeah, at future, when it comes due again, when it's time for that again, it'll be worth it to get everybody's input. And basically, I don't know if we do as far as a request for proposal or an RFP, or if we just call them up and see what they're doing, but yeah, it'll be worth it at that point.
You might mention at that time we may be even looking at relocating some of our fuel tanks and including new fuel tanks.
Right. Well, and that's one of the things I was going to talk about here in a minute when it gets to my director's report, but we can jump right ahead to that. Just was going to fill you in on the Tillamook Air Museum thing. Tillamook Air Museum is still looking at moving to Newport. Basically, they're looking at two different places, Newport and Astoria. Last we talked to them, they seemed to give us really good indication that we were pretty much winning out. However, they've got their financial people working it out and looking at all the numbers and how everything pans out. Since their financial people have taken it over, we haven't really heard much back from them yet. We're still kind of waiting.
I got a thank you note from her.
I know. where they want to build is over there in the area where our fuel farm and our maintenance shop is. And so we would be looking at moving the fuel farm in order to accommodate them. So when we move it, we would increase the volume, we would increase the storage capacity. And increasing the storage capacity would probably be necessary because they're going to buy a lot of fuel from us, which would be a good thing. So overall, if that happens, it's, you know, it's a great thing. They'll help put a lot of development, a lot of infrastructure development into that area. They'll put a lot into additional roadways, additional ramp spaces, things that we can then offer to other companies to build. One of the biggest reasons we have a hard time getting other companies coming in building is because there's no space that has the infrastructure developed. They'll put a lot of infrastructure in that we could then capitalize on. So it's a good thing if they come in. We gotta, you know, we gotta keep working on that as much as possible. Unfortunately, it's one of those things we can't go up and make them do it. You know, if we could make them do it, I would have already made them.
I have an idea though, and that would be that anybody who wants to go for an afternoon flight, fly to Tillamook, land at the airport.
That's a wonderful.
And visit the museum and tell them where you're flying from and how, and tell them how much you love Newport. Newport's airport. As many pilots as possible that can fly up there, because that's a good portion of their visitors, are people that fly in to visit it. So whatever kind of a campaign you can get out of the port, out of the Newport pilots to go up there and visit that airport would be really great, because anything we do, we've already taken a drive up there to visit it and go through the museum with them. And
you don't do that.
But I mean, it was the time and the time and the energy that we did it. But we flew up there, and they've been to town three times now. Mm-hmm.
They've been down three times.
They're marketing expert, they're a financial expert. Wow. So they're very serious about it. But anything we can do to keep pushing them, talk them about how wonderful our community is and what a great part of their community, you know, how the community will support them and help them, because they don't get a lot of community support out of Tillamook.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, they just don't.
So can we get water and sewer to this?
That's my next question.
Well, because this has been a thorn.
The capacity, there's capacity at South Shore to take what sewage they would create.
How are we going to get their sewage to South Shore?
Well, it's not that far, and there's a pump there already, and it's a small line, not a main trunk line. So we can get water and sewer. We can service them with water and sewer without a whole lot of extra infrastructure right now, but having them there obviously would help bring it there.
Why are we fighting so bad to get water and sewer to the airport so we can get other business?
Because it's the capacity. It's a capacity issue. I mean, you're talking about a couple of restrooms with four or five stalls, and that's all they need.
And
for the museum.
They're willing to invest in temporary solutions as well, which is one of the things, you know, in this case, a lot of developers wouldn't be willing to do, but they're willing to invest in temporary things. For instance, there's enough water for their restrooms and their kitchen and that type of thing, but the water for fire suppressant isn't enough, and so they're willing to put in a tank and a pump where, you know, I mean, that's one of the things. For sewage, if they can't get a small line down to the nearest pump station, they're willing to put in a storage tank for their sewer and have it pumped out intermittently. So, you know, they're willing to invest some money into this stuff that again, it will be a temporary solution until the full long-term solution gets
there. That'd be huge.
Yeah. But I mean, we could actually service them right now where they are without a huge expense. Because you wouldn't have to put in a main sewer trunk line, et cetera.
And their hangar now, I mean, what's the minimum height restriction for the FAA for their hangar? Their hangar must be huge that they're going to be asking for.
You mean how tall can they build out there?
Right.
I don't have that exact number. At least, we're looking at least, they can go up to probably at least 60, 65 feet out in the area where they want. Which basically has, you have the Part 77 surface areas. Part 77 surface areas have a section that's off the edges of the runway, and that's level with the center line of the runway.
Right.
And then once you get off, I believe off the top of my head, I want to say 500 feet, but I'll have to verify that. It goes up on a transitional slope that's a 7-to-1 slope. And so right next to it, you know, at 1 foot out, you can be, you know, 7 feet high, at, you know, or right. No, vice versa. And as you go out, you know, that slope goes up. They're going far enough away that they've got, you know, they've got 55 to 60 feet. And I believe their drawing had their hangar at...
How big is the hangar that they're asking for?
20,000 square feet.
Yeah.
So who's going to come up with $5-6 million for that?
They are.
They are.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Well, I they hope Destination Newport's getting involved in this, the Chamber's getting involved, the Quinn Bay Economic Foundation.
We've got everybody involved. Tons of people involved.
Port's even in getting involved and getting behind it.
Yeah.
This is huge.
Yeah, it would be really nice.
Last meeting we had, we kind of briefly mentioned it, but because they didn't want it really out there. And since then, they've put it out, and so we're able to talk more about it now.
They're using one-third of that air, that blimp hangar right now. And they've got stuff falling off the roof every day.
I'd like to see what their survey indicates, their preliminary economic surveys, because they would get much, much more just drive-in traffic.
Well, we've been trying to tell them that.
I mean, who's going to drive from Eugene or say, you know, Eugene up to Tillamook? I mean,
their business model that they have right now, they've actually succeeded in matching, and they were hoping for 70,000 visitors a year, and that's what they get.
We could give more than that.
Well, one of the visits.
The aquarium is half a million.
One of the visits they did was to come down here, and they visited with us in the aquarium, and they got a feel for the type of visitor traffic the aquarium gets. And that was a great visit for them, because you could just see them sitting there going, if we could have people
like
this.
And they would. They would get it.
Yeah. So it was a good visit. And
it's Erickson Group that's behind it that owns the collection. And it's that they have pretty deep pockets.
Well, Erickson Crane is one of the biggest crane companies in the world.
Yeah.
What's the other community in competition?
Astoria.
Astoria. Yeah.
Well, this site down here has what they really, really want, which is Highway 101 exposure.
Well, this is...
And right on the apron of an airport. I mean, they want to have a big apron. They, you know, every aircraft they have, except for the cigar thing, what's that thing called?
The Guppy.
The Guppy. Everything else flies. They all fly. They're all working aircraft.
Does Tillamook have an ILS? I don't think they do.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, we have a better airport.
They have an air tanker. They have a subsidiary air tanker business.
Right. That's the other thing that they would do.
They want to try to.
Well, what they want to do is do the maintenance for their air tankers at this facility that they build.
This is a big project.
Oh, it's a huge project.
We can take this on and handle this, huh?
We've told them we're ready. We've given them a lease option, or lease estimate.
Well, you've got a whole page full of volunteers that would do whatever it takes, Mayor.
Al would be ready to. Al used to volunteer at Evergreen, right?
Isn't that right? 4 years.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, they didn't understand that the Seafood and Wine Festival was a volunteer operation. They didn't understand how much the aquarium relies on volunteers.
This is how the community operates.
And what a great community we have in that area. So, I mean, they know about us. They know everything they need to know about us. They just have to decide. I think it's all down to the money cruncher right now.
Wow, that's exciting news.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess there's still the chance they could choose to not move or choose for some reason to go to Astoria, but... you know, I think we have more than sold Newport as being the best place for them.
The they would be at the Astoria Airport.
Astoria is not a good spot for
them. Astoria Airport doesn't give them the exposure that they want.
They would get Portland people. Again, they wouldn't get very many Salem people. They wouldn't get Eugene people, Medford people, South Oregon. I mean, you're far up in the... That logistically would not make sense to me.
And I think they know that. The other thing they also said is that... All the efforts we've been putting into them, they told us that Astoria hasn't done any of that.
Yeah, we need to do another follow-up pretty soon with the gal that came down.
I followed up with Mike. I haven't followed up with her yet. Bridget. Bridget.
Yeah,
I haven't followed up with Bridget yet, but I did follow up with Mike, and he said, you know, everything's still the same as what it was, and you don't get worried
we've
yet.
We've met with the man twice, and it's mostly his relatives. In-laws and whatever that are running Erickson Group. It's a big family operation, and they're all very involved in it and pretty invested in it, too.
Well,
his grandson is actually the manager of the museum.
That's huge. If there's anything this council or even the volunteers can do, wine and dine, give them airplane rides.
They would be the best airplane ride.
Yeah.
I really seriously believe that one thing that might really help at this point would be just for folks to fly up there and land and visit the museum and talk about
What's the manager's name?
Mike Oliver.
Mike Oliver.
He's actually Jack Erickson's grandson.
He loves to chew tobacco, and he loves to fly.
Well, he'd fit right in. I'll go this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that you know that wants to have some, you know, some place
we'll
to fly to.
We'll spread out tomorrow.
A good excuse to go up there.
We'll get word out tomorrow.
Just a flying where you all go in as fast.
Yeah, that'd be really fun because they need to know who's at the airport and what the airport's like.
Well, they need to know that we'll take care of them.
Yeah.
Isn't one of the options for them still to stay at Tillamook if Tillamook fixes that hangar at all?
Well, yeah, Tillamook has told them they're not going to fix the hangar.
They want them to fix it.
So they would have to invest in fixing the hangar. And what Jack himself told me is that he'd rather spend $5 to $6 million on building a building that's the building he wants than to put $5 or $6 million in repairing that old hangar.
He can put his name on the next building.
He can put a name on our building.
Yeah, it's going to be his building. He can put his name on it. He can't put his name on the museum there. I think they're done with Tillamook because they've got nets and tents and everything else up over those aircraft. They've got crap falling down on them every day.
So I suspect they'll have a restaurant, full-service restaurant, a gift shop, the whole nine yards?
They are planning on building a building that will accommodate events in the evening. I mean, they see what a facility they have would be, that would there would be a lot more opportunity to generate income out of it beyond the regular museum day.
Be huge.
Yeah.
Now, Gene, I don't want to get the cart before the horse, but you obviously the FAA would have to be involved in some of this infrastructure, some of the road structure. Would we have another on-ramp, you know, because it would be on the field,
the
FAA's, Highway 101? How is the FAA going to get involved?
The FAA's involvement is actually minimal in something like this. But they would be involved in doing the airspace study to make sure the building doesn't go up too high and interfere with the airspace. And any new ramps and taxiways that we built, we're basically just going to have to run through their design review and their design reviews. Since AIP money won't be being spent on it, their involvement isn't as deep as it would be as if it was an AIP project. One of the big factors, and Derek Tokos is already working on this, and that's the ODOT involvement on the highway entrance. That's the big thing. And Derek's already moving forward on that. He's already got some preliminary meetings set up.
They're having a walkthrough.
Yeah, right.
The next week.
Derek's doing a great job, by the way, of just taking on the highway part of this, because that's a big issue.
Right.
And that's the changes that'll have to happen to the highway. They're getting the approval from ODOT. And even before Erickson has made any commitment whatsoever, we're already starting and looking into that and making sure that that's happening.
What we don't want to do is say, and sign a contract, and all of a sudden we get some big kibosh from the FAA or ODOT saying, oh gosh, you guys, we didn't
FAA,
anticipate
this. You don't have to worry about FAA. FAA will be more than supportive of a project like this. Now, if we were wanting to build a boat factory out there, they would have a problem because it's not aviation related. But FAA is going to jump on this and be supportive of it. I'm even going to try, when it gets to it, to get a little bit of AIP funding for ramps and taxiways.
Right.
Because FAA loves this type of development.
Good.
There's a small wetlands issue, and it's there's kind of a hole there, as you know. So there's going to be some costs involved in getting a piece of land up at the level of the airport and flat. Mm-hmm. But
The ports involved in that, they're talking about some of their sand from what has become affectionately known as Mount Noah. If that works as far as fill, moving that over to our property, since they have to pay to move it anyway, it'd be cheaper for them to move it there than
Absolutely.
To move it somewhere else.
They were going to head someplace farther south.
That'll help us a lot. The only real sticking point that we've even have any fear of, and that's the ODOT thing, and that's why I said Derek's already on top of that. He's moving quick on that.
There's a piece of private property right along the highway there. There's that little triplex.
Right.
And it's kind of right smack in the middle of the project. So that's going to be that place has been for sale off and on, so I don't think it's going to be too hard to get that out of the way, but
that would be huge for the city,
Mark. Yeah.
Gene, you're on a roll. You want to go ahead and finish up here?
It would be really great for the airport.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, he wouldn't have a choice. He would have to learn how to service fuel in airplanes now. Wouldn't have a choice. Well, I'm going to buy him an official green jumper with Gene Cosi, airport manager. Right. He would have to learn how to fuel airplanes.
Well, I was going to talk about that a little bit, just because I know that that's been an issue. I am working on that. There is no federal regulation or state regulation for pumping fuel. Basically, the feds and the state don't really care. It's the quality assurance requirements that ExxonMobil and the fuel providers put on. I've got that program. I'm working on it. I do. It does take a backseat to some of the other
portions
of running.
You get these guys down here, and I will fuel every airplane down here for free.
So I am working on that. It does take a backseat to some of this other stuff, like negotiating with Tillamook, Yeah, we're working on that. Shouldn't be a problem. It's moving along. We do have plenty of staff right now. You know, we've got 3 full-time and 1 part-time person. So at this point, we haven't had a problem with not enough staff out there. So that's not an issue. Let's see. The other thing I was going to talk about was what I'd like to do is start working towards talking about some events. You know, like some quarterly events, fly-ins, culminating during the best part of the summer, having a big event next year sometime. Kind of start this process for next year. I know it's been something that you guys have talked about. It's been something that I like and everything. It's just, I've said this before and I'll say it again. It's a huge project and it's something that I can coordinate and kind of be the project manager of, but it's something I can't do by myself. So unless I get a lot of people who are willing to jump on to, you know, doing events like this and bringing people in, it's something that we just can't have happen because I don't have my staff doesn't have time to do it, and I don't have time to do it. Like I said, I've got the time, I can kind of project manage it. So what I wanted to get a feel for was your guys' desire and involvement to start doing some events like that and to start doing like maybe a quarterly fly-in that's really advertised and pushed, maybe each one a different theme culminating with, like, you know, in September when we have the best weather, having the really big one. What I want you to do is start thinking about that, sending me some ideas, letting me know how much involvement you think you can get in that, and then we'll start, if you're really interested in it, during this fall, winter time, we'll start the whole planning process so that next summer we could start them off. And
don't forget that the Destination Newport does have marketing grants available. Mm-hmm. So any kind of an event that you picked, you could get, if you can get a date picked and an event organized and get a cursory budget put together, you can ask them for money and you'll have some upfront marketing dollars to get started with it.
Well,
too.
It is something that the volunteers, you know, we've got 25 now, you know, we've got email addresses, phone numbers. This is something we've talked about. And my suggestion, Gene, is maybe in the next couple of weeks, let us know when you have a Saturday off. Come down to the barbecue. I'll rally the troops. We've had meetings down there, actually.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Mark. I think the Saturday barbecue is a bad time to do that. I think an evening meeting and an afternoon, you know, maybe 4 or 5 in the afternoon with the people who are very serious about working and getting it done. The barbecues are great, but they tend to be more of a social event, and they should be a social event. They shouldn't be a meeting that organizes and get something done. I think this should be an evening, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the evening.
It's just a time when everybody's
there. Get people here. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Everybody's there. They're socializing. I think it should be like a Thursday afternoon when the people who really are going to knuckle down and work on it will show up. That's my opinion.
You have. Okay. Understand.
Okay, Gene, go ahead.
I'm pretty much done, unless there's any questions.
I have one little cleanup issue. The grass over at the box hangers, is that policy changed? You guys are no longer allowed to cut it? Is it up to the individual? It's looking pretty gnarly over there.
The policy is if it's on the portion of the property that you lease, it would be your responsibility. If it's on the airport portion, it's our responsibility. Our guys try to get over there when they're not busy with everything else and mow that grass. Um, I'll I'll remind Lance, you know, to try to get over there if he can. Again, if it's on your leasehold, it's your responsibility. If it's on, if it's off your leasehold, it's our responsibility.
I don't know what our leasehold is. Is it just the hangar part? Is it the
Each one's a little different. You've got a section of land on your lease diagram, and however much you built your hangar on it.
So it's just a hangar?
No, it's not. Not necessarily. When you built your hangar, did you cover your entire leasehold?
With building.
Yeah, if
I look at
your lease.
So I have to look at my lease.
Yeah. But yeah, our guy, when they can get over there and mow it, I mean, they don't say, well, there's the line, I'm not mowing past that. Well, they mow everything they get over
there. It hasn't been mowed all year long.
Yeah.
And that's fine as long as the pilots or the people that know the hangar said, listen, because of, you know, before, you know, a couple of years ago, it got mowed.
Right.
But well, you know, apparently it was a private property. So as long as the people that own the hangars know it's their responsibility.
And I'll be frankly honest with you, Mark. A couple of years ago, there was a lot more effort put into maintaining mowing grass than there was maintaining the airfield. And I've got the guys putting more effort into maintaining the airfield.
That's fine. As long as the people that know the hangars, that know what their responsibility is, we're not going to rely on your staff to cut that grass anymore. We need, you know.
I think it's best for you, if you want the grass mowed, to prepare to mow it yourself. But our guys do get over there when they have time and help you out.
You're not understanding me, Gene. The people that own the hangars need to know, guess what, guys? This is your responsibility to mow the grass, not mine. So they just need to know.
Okay.
I'm not saying, hey, get your guys over there to mow the grass.
Yeah.
We just need to know, the people that own those hangars are wondering, how come my grass isn't mowed? Well, because it's your responsibility. Read your lease.
All right. Okay.
Is it like a push mower project?
Well, now it's a thrasher mower.
It's a big one now.
It's pretty embarrassing, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I'm lucky. My neighbor mows mine.
I'm only. Yeah.
So what I'm wondering about is if you just had a mower down there that was available to everybody to use.
We have mowers.
Is there mowers there?
Yeah,
a lot of guys have them.
Just in their hangers, yeah.
And maybe some of the guys that don't show up all the time. I can do a flyer, hand it out Saturday, or put it under. Hey, this grass is your responsibility now to mow. It's not the airport's responsibility. Yeah.
Or a weed whacker probably would do a lot.
No,
is it more than that?
Yes,
more land than that?
It's about the size of this room.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a great job. I've know, you know, you've talked about what the volunteers can do, and I've actually mentioned that before, is mowing grass, helping us with the mowing around the outside of the field. And I can't have you out on the big mower out in the center of the field, but your volunteers can mow all you want around the hangars and around the terminal and those places. I mean, I will never object to you guys coming in and mowing grass for us, because, again, our guys are real busy with maintaining the airfield.
Hey, Gene, did you want to say anything about the airline report?
Well, there's not a lot new to say. You all know that, you know, Seaport gave us about 4 days' notice, and they didn't even mean to do that. They were planning on just leaving, but we caught them. They're gone. You know, I know what happened. The day after they left us, they started service between Twin Falls and Boise, Idaho. They've got aircraft that are a resource to them. Any business person wants to use their resources in the place where it's going to give them the best return on investment. They made a decision that the route between Twin Falls and Boise will give them the best return on investment. They moved. You can't fault them for making a good business decision if they think it's the best business decision. We can fault them for the way they did it. I mean, they were very unprofessional and very, very backhanded in the way they did it. My personal analysis of their business plan is that they're looking at trying to relocate their business and center around Boise instead of centering around Portland. I don't have any proof of that beyond just analyzing what they're doing. But they're having a lot of problem with their business model between Portland and Seattle. Horizon is just, you know, throttling them. And Boise's a hub, but there's no airline that's actually hubbed out of Boise. So they don't have that same, you know, going head-to-head with a big guy and getting knocked around. They've got the Twin Falls is a good route for them. It puts them in striking distance of Salt Lake and a few other places. I will just, it wouldn't surprise me if you saw Seaport shifting their whole focus over to Boise in the next couple of years instead of in Portland. And I think that's one of the reasons why they made that move. We touched base with several 135 carriers. Most of them right now are just saying in this economy they're not looking at doing anything else. You know, I treat it the same way I treat Tillamook. If I could go and, you know, grab them and force them down here, right. I would, but I just can't do that. So,
in the past, we as a group have contacted the various 135 carriers and other carriers also. And in the past, the large carriers, United, Delta, whatever, have declined gracefully, not at this time type thing. Perhaps because of the economy and because they might want to do more feeding of their main routes, perhaps would it be possible to contact some of the major carriers and have them consider us as a feeder, maybe a loss leader feeder, but nonetheless be in ahead of time as a feeder for their larger routes and more profitable routes, and maybe one of these carriers, of the larger carriers, would be willing to do that. Is that possible to do?
You can always contact them, but they're not even going to respond. Mm-hmm. In all honesty, they're not even going to acknowledge that we said anything. The bigger, larger air carriers are all moving towards much larger aircraft. Even Horizon Alaska, the smallest aircraft Horizon's flying is a 75-seat aircraft right now. SkyWest is flying 30-seat aircraft. That's one of the only 121 operators that are flying smaller aircraft. And SkyWest doesn't do their own flying. They only fly for other aircraft. They fly for United and Delta and things like that. We could go say hi to them and ask them if they'd come over here, but again, they're not even going to acknowledge that we said anything. It's just not their business plan or their business market to do that. This market is a market for a 135 operator and a small aircraft, small seats. Unfortunately, I've talked to Ken Moore, talked to a couple of others. They just don't want to do anything in this economy. They're trying to keep from going out of business. They don't want to try to stretch out. That's the unfortunate reality of this economy.
Anybody have anything else?
If you let Lance know to come knock that big stuff down, I'll make sure that whole area gets mowed and maintained.
All right. I'll talk to Lance about it.
Okay. I want to thank Peggy for doing the follow-up for our vacancy. I want to thank the visitors that are here and also the news media. Appreciate you being here also.
I want to thank Mark McConnell for putting on a little meeting, public forum, for the airline to show support, and I think
correct.
That should continue.
Yes.
I can give you a little bit of follow-up from that. The gal who was there from Marine Science Center had done a transportation survey with the people that are out in the Marine Science campus, and it generated quite a bit of really good information about what people who are traveling in and out of there regularly, what they're looking for, what they want, and that was why she generated her questions and her comments around land shuttle, some kind of direct connection back and forth. If we don't have air shuttle, at least some kind of connection to Corvallis and beyond. So she's allowed me to take that, to use that survey, so I'm working on getting that, we'll work on getting that survey out to some of the other major employers, i.e. NOAA and some of the other folks that would be the fishermen, mm-hmm. people that are using flights for regular business and things, and at least try to get some kind of an idea or a feel that even if we don't have regular air service, we would at least have some kind of regular connection to the airports.
Or Corvallis.
Because, yeah, to Corvallis. There's, you know, there's a shuttle out of Corvallis every 2 hours, but it's right. You got to get there.
Right.
And that's the issue. And we do have our local shuttle. The newspaper did their article about the local shuttle that mm-hmm. comes down out of Lincoln City. It's a little more cumbersome than going to Corvallis, but there are actually regular bus connections to the Valley via Lincoln County Transit and via Valley Retriever. So some of those tie into the shuttle also, but then maybe supplement that above and beyond with other shuttles that might, so people might be able to have that convenience of connecting all the way to the airport without having to take their own car. So.
Okay. Go to the meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
What shift do you have on
Saturday?
I'm going away. Do you have anything on Saturday?
Well, we got
You still have your own name. Jim?
I got some eggs till 11.
Survive much fire on that.
That's good.